Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting of the CSD Board, 19th of June, together. Thank you for coming. Let's rise for the pledge. Can you join me, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can you call roll, please?
Vice President Simon?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Thank you. Okay, this takes us to public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions for the board will go through the chair. Is there any public comment? First. No public comment. We will move on to open session and disclosure. Council?
The board, thank you. The board held a special closed session this evening. There were two items, item D1 and D2, were on the agenda. Regarding both of those matters, there is no reportable action on either. Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, not the wrong, I have the other agenda.
I'm used to curveball, sir. Thank you. I'm on my toes.
This leads us to presentations. Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board, members of the public. There's an empty chair up here on this dais tonight, and it's with great honor and respect that we have former board member Ray Tetro here tonight with us. It's been an honor to work with Ray over the last number of years, and we've got a few parting gifts for you. So with that, I will turn it back over to Mark and Carol.
Ray, come on up.
All right.
Well, before we present anything, you know how I feel.
Yeah.
It's been an honor. Sit next to you, running with you, two. We ran together for election twice. Ray and I served next to each other for 5 years, and I consider you a great friend. And I'm thanking you for everybody on the board and myself. Obviously, I wish you the best. And we have party gifts on top of
it. All right. Parting gifts.
This one, you already know what that one is.
Yeah, that's the.
This one, you've got one.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? So you do now?
I do now.
Yes, you do. And as well deserved, as past president of the board.
Can you see that?
No. Oh, yeah.
I'd also like to thank Gabrielle, Jessica, and your sister for giving us Ray every other Wednesday night and for the past 12 years, whether he served on this board or on the REC 800 board. And I know that your fellow colleagues on the board want to say thank you, and I've got something for you many times over there. This has truly been an honor to work with Ray, and I know the staff is sorry to see you go. I know that Greg Harris, who you spent a lot of time with working, is in the audience tonight, and certainly someone to help with you form the district. I know David Lennon's in the back of the room and spent a lot of time working with you as well. And so just on behalf of myself and the staff, and I know speak for the board,
thank you.
I don't want to say something.
Yeah, Ray, I just want to congratulate you, and the community certainly appreciates all the effort that you've put into this, serving on this board. I know you're on REC 800, 14, 15, 16 years, and nobody else has committed the time and the effort that you have. And I just want to publicly acknowledge your support of the community and the fine job that you've done. I know, and it's also pretty tough on the family to let you go all the time. I've been there, so thank you very much.
And we won't make you sit through the rest of the meeting either.
Yeah. You're free at any time.
I'm going to move on to under new business, Rick. When we get to new business, we're going to move item three, which I believe most of the people are here for, which is the Pantages project. We'll move that up to F1. Know that.
Yes, sir.
Director's comments. President's report. Any comments, Chris?
Okay.
No. Nothing either. Consent calendar. Can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion? Any questions from the public? All those in favor of consent calendar?
Aye.
Aye.
New business. Let's move F3 to F1.
Received a request letter from the County of Contra Costa last week regarding the Pantages project and their public accessible walkways, walking paths, passive recreation areas and wetlands, as to whether or not the district would be interested and willing to take on the long-term maintenance of those, similar to what we did in Ravenswood with the wetlands. There's a 5-year maintenance program. The developer in that case provided the funding. The developer in this case will provide the funding, be it through an assessment through one of the landscaping districts or through their HOA fees. And so I'm just seeking board input this evening as to whether or not the board is interested in pursuing that, for the county to pursue that on our behalf.
Yeah, I certainly agree that I think the town should maintain those areas so that there'd be a consistency throughout the entire town, and that way we could ensure that whomever that we have on contract to do the maintenance, that community would get the same treatment, and we'd have the ability to make sure that it meets our standards.
Okay. I would agree with Director Pease on that, and not knowing how quickly the lots will sell, what the economy is going to be like at the time of that, I would think we would have a vested interest in making sure that at least that area remains beautified and kept up to the standards that we've maintained throughout the other districts that we have.
I went ahead and I put the map of the Pantages development up on the board there so you can see what it looks like, what it's going to look like. And on the left-hand side, you see the green areas. Those are the wetlands, and there's a gray walking trail through there. While it's going to be a gated community, there is public access through the project, through and down to the waterfront. So there are opportunities for the public to get in there. There's going to be a concrete path as well as a DG path, or asphalt path and a DG path. So you can ride your bikes, you can walk, you can walk your dog back in there. But there's also, as you know, there's going to be the Sheriff's Marine Patrol Station is going to be there as well. And you can see that at the top upper left-hand corner of the diagram there. So what I'm looking for this evening is a recommendation from the board so that I can take back to the county to affirmatively indicate to them that we would be receptive to maintaining the long-term maintenance of those, so long as we do continue to receive financial reimbursement for that, long-term committed financial reimbursement.
Rick, I'm assuming that we're going to do this with an outside vendor, not in-house.
We we contracted out with Zettner and Zettner to do the 5 years over in Ravenswood, and it would more than likely, there's a 5 year maintenance you have to go through on the wetlands. The rest of the project is, generally speaking, maintenance of the paths and those sorts of things. So depending on what it is, we'd either do it in-house, but the maintenance itself would more than likely be contracted out. I'm looking to Ferrum because...
There's very minimal maintenance. The idea of the wetlands area is that you grow it, the core roots it, and you kind of leave it alone. There's inspections that would be done once a year. They come out and do a report for us on how the wetlands area is doing. If there's any invasive species that need to be removed from there, weed type species, those are the only items that we've had to address in the past with the wetlands in Ravenswood. So we don't touch the Ravenswood, you know, wetlands area. It just kind of self-sustaining. So that's what they're looking at here is a wetlands area. So there's no regular maintenance associated with that. And one of the comments we had suggested was that before we actually approved it to accept it, that we could review their contract with the Corps of Engineers on what the requirements are going to be for that area. Right now, it's not determined.
And from this point on, let's come up to the podium and sort of get this on recording. Okay, I have any other questions?
Yeah, I'm in agreement too that we can keep the standards and have management over that. I would ask if the town do that.
What are you looking for from the board?
Just a motion, move staff recommendation.
Yeah, I'd move staff recommendation.
Point of order, there is no recommendation. It just is.
I'd move Manager Howard's comments on how we would like to pursue it with the county.
Before we do this, are there any comments from the public? I'm sorry, I didn't go out to the public. Any comments from the public? Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. You made a motion.
So we'll move Manager Howard's comments as the motion.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now we can go to item one, which is Discovery Bay Influent Pump Station W Modifications Emergency Storage Lagoon Capital Improvement Program Project. Staff?
You're right, that's... As the board recalls, we bid this project out back in March, and it was determined that the bids came in higher than we had anticipated. So consequently, we rejected all bids, if you recall, and the board went ahead and authorized us to value engineer the project and rebid it. And our district engineer, Gregory Harris, is going to go ahead and give you an update on what took place with that.
As you recall, we took the project back in-house and sort of cut out things that were nice but not strictly needed to get the project done. We reissued the project out for bidding. The same person who was low contractor last time, the low bidder last time, is low bidder this time. However, we were able to save about $300,000 on the project. So we are, again, still over budget, but we actually are lower than what we thought we would get. So we saved about $300,000 from last time. And you still basically have most all the same functions that you had before. And so we are strongly recommending proceeding with the project at this time and are quite pleased with the bidding that we were able to get and provide better value.
I might add, this is the one project that when Gregory was here, I think it might have been at that March meeting, and he gave the board an update on the status of all the projects where they were in the pipeline. And this is that one project that we did inform the board on that we would more than likely be over budget on. So just wanted to make that, just remind you of that.
Right, and of course, as I stated then, we're looking for savings of the next project that we're working on to cover this so that we don't exceed the bond funds. That's the primary goal. And this makes it a lot easier to do that. So in this case, we have less to have to cover on the next project.
Kevin?
How much over budget are we now even with the $300,000 reduction?
We are about $300,000 over.
And in a nutshell, What was value engineered? How did you accomplish that $300,000 savings?
In a nutshell, some of the redundant piping was eliminated. Some of the concrete, and we have the emergency storage basin, but rather than make it really nice emergency storage basin with concrete liners and walkways and stuff like that, we just left it as an emergency storage basin so that you can pump out manually. We eliminated some redundant piping, and that's about it, really. And then we changed some coating systems from a really premium coating system to a more standard coating system.
Chris?
Just so I'll come up to speed. Where is pump station W?
The pump station W is the original pump station for the treatment plant before they expanded the treatment plant. It was replaced in 2002 with which the original expansion to build plant 2, and it sits immediately adjacent to the new pump station. It's like literally 15 feet away, but it hasn't been used. And however, what we ran into is, you know, 12 years down the road, we can't go back and maintain the other pump station because it's got sewage in it all the time. And we don't have a mechanism to do that. So the project is to bring that other pump station up to a point to where it can still act as a backup to the
while we maintain the other.
And allow us to maintain it, exactly.
Thank you.
Rick, how much did you save in the new bid?
It was like $280,000.
So we're still short $300,000?
Yes.
How much of the $300,000 will we make up in the next project?
I think we'll get it all. Yeah, so, you know, we are tracking all the projects, and I can actually bring that back to the convening if you want, now that we got the bids. But we're tracking all the projects, and we have value engineered the big project, the expansion of the oxidation district clarifier. And we've just finished the hydraulic profiles on that project now, and it looks like we're going to be able to reuse some structure. So we think that we're feeling confident we can save that $300,000 over there on that project.
Yeah, Greg, when you say you eliminated some redundancy piping, have we compromised any of the flows with regards to the efficiency or the effectiveness that we wanted when we went with the purpose of this emergency lagoon? In other words, if we're not stuck with any one way, anything that's going to restrict the efficiency of it being used.
Yeah, I don't think so when you consider it's an emergency lagoon. We had a drain pipe that returned back from it. What was problematic about the drain pipe is we needed a gate, and then we needed access to a gate,
that
and then we needed stairs to
the
gate,
yeah.
And then we needed a handrail because there were stairs, and
right.
This thing just kind of piled out of each other. The reality is what we do now when we use that lagoon is we just put a pump over the side of the basin, and then we pump out of it, which we can continue to do because we really don't use it very often. You know, it's still an emergency base, and it isn't something we use every single day. In addition, it's also something that we can always build later. Everything that was eliminated can easily be built later without really any additional cost.
Understood.
It's just a matter of when you have the money, if you guys really need to eat, you can build it better.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the audience? What are you looking for tonight?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
We shall move on. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Gregory. The next item for the board's consideration this evening is the adoption of the fiscal 2013-2014 annual operating budgets for the town of Discovery Bay. If you recall, we had a workshop on this back on June 4th. Spent a considerable amount of time discussing it. The changes that have been made subsequent to that workshop were that we reduced by $25,000 the contribution to the reserves for the generator replacement fund from $50,000 to $25,000, and we just transferred that money into the general operating reserve account. So there was not a net reduction in the budget per se, but there was it changed that reserve account and increased general operating reserves. On the table in front of you this evening, there is a change. It's the authorized position schedule. It's a one sheet page. Looks like this. What I've done is we've gone ahead and what's in the budget, what was in the published document that you received and that is in the draft budget, we added three from the bottom. You can see water services technician two. that there would be a potential for a promotional opportunity there if the incumbent in that position met certain requirements. So that is those are the only two changes that are that come about as a result of the budget workshop we had back on the 4th. I'm not sure what level of detail you'd like me to get into relative to the budget, since we've already discussed it pretty much at length. We did provide to you, because it's hard to read electronically, the wide, longer spreadsheets, so that you can have the information if you wanted to get into it a little bit more depth.
The only change was the 25 grand on it.
That was the one change that the board was looking for in terms of reducing the generator replacement fund. So we dropped that from $50,000 to $25,000.
Questions from the board?
Yeah, the only question I have, and I think I know the answer, but I just wanted to hear it. On the first item, 7,000 salary and wages for 13-14, we're at about 810,000. And on 14-15, it's 843, and that's due to the added position. If that position is filled, is that?
It's that, and remember, we've prepared a two-year budget. We're really adopting a one-year. We'll adopt the second year at this time next year. We'll have then a second year to go. It'll just continue to roll. That includes a 3% as well, 3% for merit increases, meritorious increases based on performance for the employees, as well as the additional cost in the for the two new employees.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not for me.
Questions from the audience?
I do have one more discussion item on this. Okay, that has to do with the community center. It was a very that was probably spent more time on that conversation at the last meeting at the budget workshop. We've gone ahead and left it in. I think the board, the consensus that we received was go ahead and leave it in, but come back to the board. We leave it in as a placeholder. Since that meeting, I got on the phone with the architect and have been discussing with him a number of different possible options as it relates to the building over at the community center site. And so what I'm gonna recommend is that the board, is we bring it to the community center committee, and then eventually we bring it to the board, and whether it be a joint committee board meeting or a board workshop, a number of different options relative to that building moving on into the future. So while the money is included in the budget, there is not any action, there's no money that will be spent on that renovation, if you will, until such time as the board authorizes that renovation. That is what's going to take place.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I'm glad that you just pointed out, made the comment you did. I was a little uncomfortable just putting a budget out there without having a chance to really discuss the building, the use, the concept, et cetera. So I would certainly welcome either a joint meeting with the community center or a board workshop. So all of us would have kind of a free flow ability to kind of get our hands around it and give out some ideas and thoughts.
Some of the things we've been talking about that Mark and I have discussed, trying to think a little bit more outside the box, instead of just maybe renovating the building. I mean, we were just throwing things and see if they stick, tearing the building down, maybe building a steel frame building, bringing in tech.
You're wondering off the topic.
No, it's on the budget. It's part of the budget discussion.
Okay.
Whether or not we would. Okay. Anyway, bringing a number of different options to the board relative to some conversations that I've had with the architect.
All right.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that volume.
Yeah, just as long as we know we're going to have a chance to massage this thing with as a board before we move anywhere close to picking up a hammer, that'd be great.
And the last thing with that is I just wanted to remind the board that this budget does call for the closure of the building on June 30th, and I don't think that's a surprise to you. And fitness equipment is all going away in the next couple of weeks, so. There will be plenty of time to, as Director Peace indicates, to massage this over the next few months.
Okay. So at this point?
We're just looking for board to approve staff recommendation and adopt resolution 13-11, which would be adopting the 2013-14 operating capital revenue budget for the town of Discovery Bay.
So moved.
Okay.
I'll second it.
I'm not done with discussion yet.
Now's the time for discussion.
Sorry. Thank you, Director Pease.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm still trying to clarify, what's the amount that you're putting aside now for the community center renovation? What's the place marker?
552.5.
Okay. I'm done with my discussion. Anybody else have it?
Can we call for the motion again?
It's already been done.
Call for the second, it's already seconded. Any further comment? Call for the vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
Before we move on, I would like to acknowledge Dina, Farron, and Virgil for all their help and input, especially Farron with helping with the community center budget and the Zone A budget. That, as you know, that was problematic for us, being the first time out, so I want to thank Farron and Dina for working on that, and all the staff that participated in it. It's a very big process, as you know, and moving from 1 year to 2 years, while it was a much bigger process this year, it'll make the process moving forward much smoother. So thank you.
Thank you, staff.
Item four, Rick.
This is an agency comment request from the county. It's very similar to some of the ones that you've seen before. Development plan application DP 13-3013. The applicant is Delta Community Presbyterian Church. They are looking to add the addition of two 1440 square foot temporary modular buildings for the existing church and school facility. It's going to be going on their new parcel of land. And I know Andy Zwimmer is here in the audience this evening and is representing the church board, has any questions. And I believe that this is for a temporary location until the church and the school do their final build out. And they do not anticipate having any increase in student population based upon these improvements.
Any questions for the board?
Yeah, even though we have a representative from the church, might I ask a question of them?
Sure. Could you go up to the microphone, please? Thank you.
And I have no problem with, you know, what the church is proposing, but I would just like to look into the crystal ball a little bit into the future. I know there was some minor discussion about the possibility, if the stars aligned and this building was vacated, that maybe the church might be interested in possibly renting this for school use or something. Is that still on the church's radar?
We need this classroom really now, and that's why we've gone to the county. There are no facilities in terms of water, sewer involved. It's just a building and pond. That'll get up. We really need probably three when we go to phase two. We have an improvement from the county already to our development plan to do phase two and a phase three. The next phase wipes out the existing temporary buildings that we have at our facility. There's three of those. So we anticipated going back, once this is approved and installed, we would go back to the county for two more, potentially. If this facility was available, we might not have to do that. The reason we didn't do it now is, if you exceed, I think it's 2,500 square feet, it's a whole different process, and it takes like five times as long. And we need this one for this fall.
Sure.
So we were going to get this one in, get it going, and then figure on a year to get approval for the next two. So if this facility was available to us in a year, we would certainly consider using this as opposed to putting another one there.
Okay.
That would definitely be of interest to us.
Okay. Thank you.
What is the what's the maximum students for that school?
The number?
Is there a state requirement or a limit?
There's a limit on how many.
I guess you're not going to exceed your current headcount.
We're not adding a class. We're moving class, actually moving one class into it, and then we have no library now and a number of other things that we need. I think it's 120 students now, somewhere in that range. And we're not anticipating adding a class until after phase two. We may want to add a class. Or if we had the facilities, that's a different approval process, but I'll should go through that.
I'm assuming that with three modulars, there's going to have to be some sort of landscaping, some sort of walkways landscaping. And
yeah, did you get I don't know what you got from the county.
The plans are attached. They're in there.
Oh, okay.
If you want to go ahead and show up and hold it up.
Yeah, this is the full.
It's a little bit bigger than what we get on our screen.
Yeah. Willow Lake, the existing church.
Yeah.
The modular goes here. This takes them to the facilities that they use in this building, and this is the ADA to the parking lot.
It should be on page 151 of 167, I believe.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
No. Anybody else want to see it?
And at this point, they're asking that if we have no objection, we do not comment on this. So that's it.
We would send a letter that we've done in civil in the past that says we have no negative comments.
That would be my motion.
Are there any comments from the audience? Any others?
Second.
Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Veolia.
Garcia from Veolia is here, and he's going to present the monthly report for May.
How are you, Furman?
I'm fine, thank you. Good evening, board and town. My name is Furman Garcia with Veolia Water. I'm the project manager of the wastewater and water treatment plant at Discovery Bank. And I'll be presenting May's monthly report. We had 1,367 days of safe operations, 59,406 work hours since last reportable incident. Under training, we have preventable heat stress and heat exhaustion, 7 tank 5 safety tailgates, West Region Safety Council call, monthly regional safety webinar. Under training for operations, Joe Robbins provides additional training on the Surveillance Policy Act, also on SOCs and use of food products. To myself and Joe Hazen, Hawk Winds, Lab Cal, State Entry Training. Training was provided by Jennifer to Joe, Brandon, and Mark Orlandi. Under water services, we have 5 active wells. We produced approximately 169 million gallons of water, 5,860 gallons of hypochlorite were delivered, 0 fire hydrant flushing, and there's a table there for a cumulative water production for the year 2013. We had 16 bacteriological samples tested. All were negative, no positives. So we had 5 brown water calls. Your wastewater service, kind of hard to see that. We have last month's lab data and this month's lab data. Oh, it's a little bit difficult to see.
Perfect.
Under the NPDES system, we had 0 excursions for the month of May. We had 9 bacteriological samples collected.
Perfect. Can you go back up for just a second, a little bit?
Yeah. Sure.
Right, there's effluent BODS, 83 in April. I'm sorry, in April, and 22 in May. What's the, why the change?
More efficient. If you look at the efficiency, we went from 96% percent removal in April to 99% removal. So we increased our efficiency as a result.
He's looking at the second one down from the effluent VOD, where the permit limit is 350, and it goes from 83 to 22. I think that's what you're
looking at.
Yes, and if you go for the third one up, it says percent removed VOD monthly average efficiencies. The minimum efficiency is 85%. Last month we're 96%. This month we're 99%.
All right, but 3% is enough to change that from 83 to 22?
Yeah.
I'm a little curious about April's data under total coliform 7-day and daily maximum.
Yes.
That's something we discussed before?
Yes, we discussed it last month, but I'm more willing to talk about it again.
No, I'm glad to see it's dead 2 and 13. That looks pretty doggone good to me.
Exactly.
But if you recall, we're talking about biologically how it takes time for things to recover.
Right.
So we've recovered now.
Very much so.
So you've recovered.
Nicely, too.
I think that 1,600, if I'm not mistaken, was that we believe that is possibly a sampling error?
Yes.
We still had to report it to the state. And that number, 1,600, is actually worse than the water quality that's in the Delta. What we put in there is much cleaner than that. If you were to test the Delta water, it would be much higher than 1,600.
Okay. So go ahead.
Okay. We have 15 active lift stations. Chemical usage was 70 pounds of polymer, zero SSOs, that's sanitary sewer overflows, and we received approximately 42, almost 43 million gallons of wastewater into the facility. For the month of May under collections, we have not begun the flushing the sanitary system yet, or CCTV. Zero manholes were inspected this month in June is when we're actually beginning that. Perform weekly lift station inspections. We derag the station cap. We also had to change a transducer, level transducer in it, and replace the jetter hose on the Aquatech back truck. Under maintenance for wastewater, we experienced some problems with plant number one, station level controller, and we could not determine the cause. We actually found that out this month, what that cause was. Experienced some communication problems with the expert station PLC, M3C replaced the PLC. Performed thermal imaging, installed the torque arm modification to belt press number two, replaced fans and solar dryer B, replaced the UPS power pack to inflow pump station wet well B. Replace the motor on Magnum rotor brush for plant number one. Change out UV 3000 plus to UV 3000 and clean the channel on May 31st. Replace plant number one main utility feeder breaker. Underwater, Newport water treatment plant well number four, the flow meter was replaced. Troubleshooted 120 power issues at pouring PLC panel. Troubleshooting import water treatment plant storage tank level control. Replace water leak. Repaired water leak at Newport water treatment plant filter tank flow control device. Open and inspect the Newport water treatment plant backwash storage tank. Well, number four had to have the chlorine pump rebuilt. Preventive and corrective maintenance. Total of 195 work orders completed. 165 hours. Call outs, we had 12 emergency response call outs, and the main one was power failure due to an accident. Personnel hours and overtime is 1,467 and 79.5 hours in terms.
Any questions for the board?
Chris? Just how's the, are you guys all caught up on your preventive maintenance? How's that schedule?
I was going to ask, how many work orders are outstanding?
Oh, in back order? Cameron, I think there's, you know, I'm not sure. I know we've made a tremendous improvement. I can get back to you with that number.
It might be a number we want to see next month if you want to, just, you don't have to put it on the report, but just let us know, because there was a time when it was.
If I can indulge Furman for a minute, and maybe even Virgil, as I mentioned to the board, that last month we had a power failure down there, and the generator didn't kick on. Well, I believe we found the problem very recently, as of maybe even this morning, what the problem was. And I don't know if Furman, Virgil and I have discussed it earlier today, so if you're up on what took place and what happened, or Virgil, if you want to get up and discuss it, either way, I think the board would like to hear about that.
I don't know the answer. What we had is we had, on the oxidation ditch, there are four rotors on there. Each rotor is driven by a 30 horsepower motor. And a lot of our motors and pumps are variable frequency drives, VFDs. So it soft starts them and then it wraps them up and down. These motors that we have, it's like flipping a light switch on. They're on and they start picking up amps and they go. Anyway, this motor that we just replaced on rotor number four shorted out, but it shorted back upstream to the main circuit breaker. It had its own circuit breaker, went past it, took out our main circuit breaker at plant number one, which then knocked down the whole plant. The generator started, but the load did not shift, meaning we had the generator running, but no equipment running. So what we determined was the circuit breaker for rotor number four was bad. It's an older style, it's been there 20, almost 30 years. And so today I authorized them to go ahead and change that. So the newer breakers have these little sensors on them. You can tweak it to for milliamps. So then it should protect us from the event that we had last week from happening again.
So when we thought the generator didn't go on, it actually went on, but it never picked up the load.
Correct.
So shouldn't the generator be on a dedicated circuit that nothing else can touch?
No, it's what happens is generally when you have no power coming from PG&E, that trips it and sends it there. The switch that trips it tripped, and it never tripped the load to finally go over to the generator. So the generator was running, but no load on it was picked up.
So
what happened is we had a reverse rush of electricity come in that tripped it. Rarely do you have that. It's like taking your toaster, maybe shorten it out and then send it back to your main circuit breaker at your house.
Did that this morning.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for it.
You're welcome.
Any questions?
Was there, did this affect us with regards to any sort of excessive, did we exceed any permit limitations because of anything that occurred with the electrical shutdown?
No, immediately Joe Haley went and got a generator. We're going to tie into the influent pumps.
Thank you.
So, in order that we keep flow going.
So. That's important.
Yep. Oh, I've been there. I know what it's like.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Public comment?
Thank you.
Thanks, Vermin.
All right. Move on to manager's reports.
I have one item I would like to discuss with you this evening and get direction on. And legal counsel Schrader is also going to be available to some question, any questions that you may have. As you are aware, the Newport Point residential project has received its entitlements and its all of its permits through the county. They still need to go through their annexation with LAFCO as well as with us. And so one of the things that I think would be helpful for us if we are going to go down that road would be to enter into a pre-annexation agreement that identifies and outlines what all the terms are, what the different operational requirements might be with respect to being able to connect them to our system, to our water system, our wastewater system, that sort of thing. So. And there are some things they need to cross our creek, so they need to, there's some easement issues there, and so I if the project is going to be moving forward, this would be the best way to approach it from a
overall management system. And I know that this is not uncommon at all to have a pre-annexation agreement like this. As we get closer to the Pantages project, we will probably be bringing something very similar like this back to you regarding that project as well. And so if you have any questions, Ann and I can hopefully address them.
If I may, in addition, we are going to recommend that you, assuming you want to go this direction, authorize us to first enter into what's called a deposit agreement to be, you know, cut to the chase. All of the work that the district staff and its consultants and engineers and I would be doing would be solely for the benefit of this particular project. And most of your funding is restricted funding. So in essence, we would be approaching the developer and saying we would be happy to sit down and negotiate and enter into a pre-annexation agreement on the condition you enter into a deposit agreement, put an X amount of dollars into it, which the district could use to receive payment for its costs incurred in those negotiations.
Question on, just so I understand properly, the pre-existing agreement and all the legal things that need to be done, plus staff time, that will all be borne by the developer, correct?
The negotiations and the final agreement would be at their expense. Think of it as we're making sure everybody understands what everybody's obligations are before you agree and consent and recommend to LACCO that they be annexed in. So this is the time in which to talk to make sure that everybody understands what their obligations are, who's paying what, and enter into an agreement that memorializes all that to avoid any confusion once the annexation occurs. Does that answer your question?
I guess I understand what you said, yeah, but I wasn't quite clear on the financing arrangement of all this legal work.
It would be negotiated with the developer, and it would eventually come back to you that the deposit agreement would eventually come back to the board for authorization.
Right, so it could be something like as easy as a 50-50 partnership, or could 70-80, 60-40?
No, it would be the entire thing.
Right, that's what I was trying
to
be clear.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Or a 90-10. Or whatever.
What we would do is we would present a deposit agreement to them, get their sign off on it, then we would bring it back to you to approve the deposit agreement. And then all of the expenses that are incurred by the district, whether it's staff time, my time, or the engineer's time, would
charge off to that.
Charged off to that amount. Yes, sir.
And then the final invoice, if you will be settled with the developer at whatever time.
Typically what happens is that the deposit agreement has thresholds and benchmarks. So as an example, and I'm not suggesting this is what it would be, $10,000 would be deposited. When it had been drawn down to $2,000 or below, the developer would be required to make an additional deposit, $5,000 or $10,000, whatever the parties understood.
All right.
At the end of the negotiations and the finalization of the agreement, and the completion of the annexation, any funds remaining in that deposit agreement would be returned to the developers.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we're always the deposit is always ahead of the work that's going to be required.
Typically, what happens is you provide notice, and the developer will provide the funds. In the event the funds don't come in, the district stops all work until the money's there.
Right.
We're like a car. We run on money, and when there's no money in the tank, we don't move.
I'm with you.
We
thank you.
Assuming we have not discussed at this point whether we're in favor of this project or not in favor of it, we have not discussed whether we want to annex this project or not. We're already got the cart way in front of the horse with we're getting ready to write annexation papers. Have we even decided that we are in favor of this project, that we want it in Discovery Bank? Has it come up for discussion? Has there been any agenda item discussing it?
That is part of the annexation discussion that you will be having. And so whether or not the project would eventually get approved, we would still recommend an annexation agreement as the project is moving forward so that the board has the opportunity. You're going to get the opportunity to weigh in on it regardless. At some point, it's going to be
coming. I agree, but doesn't that give them a false impression that once we enter into start this agreement that we're in favor of the project? Why would we not have the discussion first and then talk about the agreement?
You certainly can do that. I'm just, why I brought it is a more of an informal getting direction, seeking comment from the board. We can certainly schedule it as a discussion item at a future board meeting and have the developer come and make a presentation. And
you did it right. A couple years ago, I made a presentation.
Well, I'm not sure that
you didn't miss much.
Yeah.
Well, I might be.
So it's certainly the board's prerogative. I just didn't want to start in on something that I didn't have direction to do.
Okay. My feeling is that at this point we should do this. We should open the door before we walk through it, and I think we should have the discussion of whether this is a project we want. If you want to schedule the developer, bring him in here, and let's move this. My suggestion is to move this to another date.
And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Would you want me to try and get the developer to come in to a meeting coming up in the relatively near future to come in and make a presentation?
That's the board's desire.
I was just going to say that I think the developer needs to make a decision whether he wants to move forward. He knows where he's at and whether the timing is right to even continue on his project. So if we give staff the direction to at least approach him and tell him we'd like to do this, and in order to get to the next step, he needs to come and make a presentation to the board, talk to us about what his current plans are, what his outlook is, etc. And at that same meeting, we can then decide to go through annexation or not.
Kevin?
Is it up to us whether it gets annexed or not, or is it up to LAFCO?
LAFCO makes the approval. They will look to you for your input, and I have never seen a LAFCO commission grant an annexation when there was opposition from the governing body that was being annexed into.
And where are they in that process with LAFCO, do we know?
They submitted a application to LAFCO, I believe, 2 years ago. And in speaking with the executive director of LAFCO in conversation I had with her last week, that application was incomplete. And so I know in the conversations I've had with the developer that they are going to be resubmitting or working towards completing that application process. They do want to get it moving. They're interested to get it moving sooner than later, since now they have their approvals from the county. So they are in the process of moving their project forward.
So then I have some questions that have nothing to do with whether or not we are in favor or not in favor of the project, but basically just the fundamentals of how this occurs and what our obligations are as a district. In other words, let's say that we do nothing. What's our legal exposure? Let's say we make no comment, we don't tell them we want to approve it or we don't want to, we don't want the annexation, and we just sit on our hands and do nothing. Are we allowed to do that? Are we in violation of our responsibilities?
LAFCO would reach out to you because one of the things that they will be considering amongst a whole host of other things are whether there are services available and whether they will be provided, and thus I've never seen, it's basically you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. So you would either take a position that, you know, we don't want this, or you take the position, we're happy to take this subject to an agreed upon annexation agreement. So ultimately you will have to make a decision.
And with regards to what Director Simon's talking about, I don't have any problem. Wait, I just want to make sure that legally we're abiding for whatever obligation we have as a district. We have obligations to provide water, wastewater for certain things. We don't have to do it for this district, for this project, I guess. Or do we?
You have no obligation to provide service out of district. Technically, that's where you're at. I'm unaware of any law that says you have an obligation to accept an annexation you do not want.
Okay. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with us waiting to hear from LAFCO saying, hey, we need a response from you guys at this point.
I would recommend that you converse with the developer in order to decide what you're going to do. Obviously, the developer wants to move forward. They've made investments. It makes no sense to enter into an annexation agreement and a deposit agreement And if I were the developer, I wouldn't do so unless I knew that there was going to be support for the final document when it was entered into, as opposed to spending all this money only to have the majority of the board say, no, we don't want to annex.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments from the audience? Well, at this point, we will postpone this until you...
I just wanted to get that direction, Mr. Vice President.
All right, let's move on. That was the general manager's report. Let's move on to district legal.
Thank you, Vice President Simon. As you are no doubt aware, we have a vacancy on the board, and the vacancy also created a vacancy in the office of president for this body. When you look at your rules, which for officers, which are contained in the bylaws call for the creation of three offices. Office of President, that was held by Mr. Petrol. The Office of Vice President, you, Director Simon. And the third is the pro tempore, which is you, Director Graves. The jobs of the President are well spelled out. The jobs of the Vice President are very clear. You fill the role of the President in the absence of the President. And the pro tempore are very simple as well. You fill the roles of the vice president, who fills the roles of the president when the vice president and president are absent. The terms are each for 1 year from January 1 through December 30th, well, through December to December at your first meeting, okay? There is nothing in your rules requiring the filling of a vacancy. I think the reason is clear is because you've already taken that into consideration with the other two offices. However, there's nothing prohibiting you from appointing somebody to fill a vacancy for the remainder of the term should you choose to do so. So I have no recommendation. The option is yours. Your officer structure is completely intact to move forward without a president. And at the same time, if you want to fill the vacancy and have somebody as president, I would simply recommend to follow the same procedure you do for electing a president or vice president or pro tempore, and that is to have nominations, close nominations, and have a motion, and whoever gets the majority vote becomes your president. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I then have not gone through this process. I was unaware of the third position. I was informed earlier today, but I personally have no problem with Mark, if you wanted to move in the president's position, I don't know if we need to vote on it, and have Kevin go to vice president, and then when the year is up, we do our normal thing, and by that time, we'll have a third board member at that point.
I didn't know this is done by motion.
Yes, sir.
So that could be a motion, then? Is that what
you would like?
So moved.
Okay, well, I'll second it.
Any comments from the audience?
Okay. So for clarification on the motion would be to have Director Simon as president, Director Graves as vice president, and the office of pro tem vacant.
Well,
is that correct? That was
I'd like
what
to.
I heard the motion. To
that was the motion. I'd amend that motion to nominate myself as the pro tem.
May I make a suggestion that you deal with the motion on the floor first, and then address
other
in a separate motion?
Fine.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I would make a motion that based on time on the board and experience and the fact that Director Peace, just because of time and experience on the board, that Chris Steele be nominated as the President Pro Tem.
Awesome.
Time and experience, I guess. My prior experience on an elected body doesn't count. It's all about running a meeting, not not so much knowledge of where pump F is or lift station C. So I kind of don't go along with the experience portion of your nomination.
Well, as I recall, Director Peace, when we first had these discussions and you brought in some proposals with regards to people serving on the board, you were, part of your proposal was that new people should wait at least a year before they would take any sort of a, you brought in a whole matrix and mm-hmm. that included that. Then the comments that we had were that, you know, people that are coming on the board, that gives them a whole year to get acclimated to things before they come into the matrix and all that. So I guess it kind of follows suit with the recommendations you made earlier in the year.
No. We don't need to go down this end road. You don't need to
No, that's
shoot
what you said.
I did.
Okay.
And that's when the election.
You can't keep people from talking. I don't care what your position is.
Give your argument.
When we're in an election process, but this is to fill a vacancy, it's totally different.
Oh, okay.
And that other recommendation that I had was to allow all of the members to rotate through president and vice president, et cetera. And that that didn't take place. So I don't know whenever a pro tem person ran a meeting.
I never have. And I've been pro tem for
correct.
6 months.
So, Chris, but if you want to be the pro tem guy, have at it.
So, motion was made, second.
I'll just wait for you guys to get done.
Okay.
You guys all done?
You have anything to say?
Any further discussion?
No,
any further arguments?
No arguments here.
Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention. Committee
on the principle.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, thank you, President Simon, board members. As the other issue you have is you have a vacancy on the board. Vacancies that are created on the board of directors for a community service district are governed by Government Code Section 1780, which sets forth your procedure. First of all, you have 60 days from the date of the vacancy in which to make a decision of which of the three options I'm going to provide you, you would like to take. The second thing is within 15 days of the resignation, the county elections official needs to be informed of the vacancy. Director Petrol submitted his resignation effective June 7th. 60 days from June 7th is August 6th. The staff report, which is my error, indicated you had until August 7th. You do not, because July has 31 days. So you need to make the decision by August 6th. The county, again, has been notified. They were notified on June 10th. So you have three options. One is to appoint somebody to fill the vacancy. Second is to call for a special election and fill the vacancy that way. The third is to do nothing and let the county board of supervisors fill the vacancy by way of an appointment. Should you wish to appoint someone to fill the vacancy, you must give a minimum of 15 days notice posted in three places within the district of the date, time, that you are planning to appoint somebody to fill that vacancy. There are no procedures that you are required to follow. You can do whatever you want. Just pick a date, time, send out the notice, and then have the meeting, and then just, well, who do you want to put out there? That's option one. To the other extreme is you can go through an entire vetting process, publish notice for applications and all that. My point is you can do effectively anything that you want. The second option is to call for a special election. You would do that within 60 days before August 6th. At that point, you would go through an election process under the special election codes. I will point out that a special election can be expensive because unlike a general election where you're phoning on the county that's already doing this, this would be all for you. So you would have that expense you would need to take into consideration. And then again, if you want to do nothing under the third option and have the board of supervisors make the appointment, then in essence, you do nothing. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
I was rude. I apologize, counsel. Mark, would you share with us how we did one thing? Because you were on this side of the table when that happened before I wasn't.
We posted, we took resumes.
I remember.
Applications. We had the first meeting within 30 days, if I remember, was within 30 days of the first meeting we had, and we called a second meeting, I think, within 45 days. We made the decision 45 days, I think, or 50 days. So we need to do, if we do the same thing we did last time, we need to post, get resumes or applications, let the person come to the general meeting, interviewed by the board like you guys did.
Okay.
And then make, either make a decision that night, if we can't make a decision and want to hear more, then we go one more depth after one more meeting.
Okay. But we obviously can't wait till the regular meeting in August, because that would be 61 days. That's why I was checking it out.
Yeah,
did you ever go through a process like that down there in Fremont?
We always had special election.
Yeah, that costs a lot of money.
Oh, I agree, and I don't agree that we need to do that.
Oh, good, good. I would. Were you involved? No, that was John. Was here.
No, but we did one when former board member.
Okay, let's handle. Yeah, let's handle this.
I would. Brian Dawson.
Do you guys make a motion to do this, or just a direction, the guidance?
Yes, sir. You need to make a decision.
Okay. Well, let's go. Any other Chris? Any questions for me?
Oh, and if I may, pardon me. You do not have to decide tonight, but you've got a time bomb that's.
Yeah,
but
we should. I think
just
yes.
Remind me, what was the term on the position? 2 months? 2 years? I mean.
It, yeah, what's
the
left?
Remainder of
a
2 year term.
That's a good point. Under the government code, the person, if you were to appoint that person, would fill the remainder of the term if more than half of the term has expired, or would fill that term until the next general election, at which time they would have to run again. Former Director Tetrall was recently reelected this last general election. So
to a two-year term.
Two-year term.
Yeah, he only did 6 months of
right. Oh, that I did not know.
Yeah, 2 years.
So then this
he's
person
up anyway.
Would, this person would fill in the remaining term.
Because yes, he swapped sir. Terms
right.
With
right.
somebody.
With Jim, Madison.
With Madison.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So very therefore, very it, that's kind of irrelevant at this point. It would be appointed until the next general election.
Yes.
Which is when he's up anyway.
Right. They would fill the remainder
so
of
so we're
that
still on the 2-3-2 thing. Okay.
Chris, did you have any questions?
I'm ready to make the motion.
Bill, do you have any questions? Any? Go ahead and make, before we make a motion, is there any questions from the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you? Go ahead.
I'd make a motion that we set notice and look for qualified applicants to meet with us and for an appointment.
Post haste.
Can you give a second?
Second.
Yeah. I'd like a little clarity. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of kind of interviewing, does the board have the ability, after hearing from the applicants, an ability to do like a executive session or something to discuss those, or we discuss just right here and
everything must be an open session.
Okay.
All right. There's no other questions. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Can I ask a question about that still, even though we voted?
Certainly.
Okay. Going along the same lines, so just for clarification, because so if we have, let's say, six applicants, let's say we got six people that decided they wanted to fill that term by appointment, and they came and spoke to us at a meeting that we decided to call and we posted, then we could do it in several different ways. One way we could do it was listen to all six, then have an open discussion about it and call for a vote right there and then, or would we come back to another meeting to do that?
Typically, you do it all in one meeting.
Okay, that's what I was, okay.
Especially in this instance, because your next meeting is on July 3rd, so it'd be tough to get notice out and provide people sufficient time of some, you want.
No, I understand, yeah.
So
right.
You're looking at your second meeting, which is, I believe, Tuesday the 16th.
16th. Let me ask you, worst case scenario, what if we don't get any applications?
Just because you don't get any applications doesn't mean that you can't appoint somebody, assuming they agree to do it.
Okay.
If we appoint somebody within the 60 days and they turn it down, what happens? Because you can't, I mean, if nobody applies for the job, we have to pick somebody.
We call a special meeting and appoint somebody else.
Okay.
We could call it on the 6th, we could do it the day before.
No, your problem is this, you have to basically get the person agreeing that they will accept the appointment, because you must give at least 15 days notice of the date you're going to make the appointment. So in this instance, you would want to give notice and direct staff to post the notice at least 15 days before the meeting on the July 16th.
Why don't we push it out? I mean, why do we have to decide on the 16th? Why don't we push out the end?
Well, it's not going to be the 16th. That's not 15 days. It's going to be the 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, one of our extra weeks.
We only have 60 because we only have 60 days.
We can do
it last week of July if we wanted to.
That's what we're talking about, the 23rd.
Or later. Come on.
I was anticipating this, and when we had the last board vacancy last year, we went ahead and posted the very next day, and those notices have already been changed. The dates have been changed. But we just need to fill them in just from that.
I just wanted to make him enough time that the pool can be, we have a pool to pick from, and not give you 3 weeks to figure that out.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Right in the middle of the summer.
I'm not going to be on the 23rd.
No, push out to the 30th.
You'll need to call a special meeting.
We'll have to call a special meeting.
Hold on a second. Let me.
Well, when is this? I didn't catch it. The 60 day.
August 6th is when you need to make your decision.
So we're going to wait all the way to July 30th?
July 1st. You've got to give them 15 days notice before they come to the next meeting.
They're going to miss two meetings, no matter if we do it on the 16th or if we do it on the 31st. We're still not going to have anybody in place for those two meetings. So it doesn't really change.
Well, I'm not worried about anybody in place. I'm just trying to. So that if something came up at that meeting and we, for whatever reason.
Oh, crap, when I'm trying to reschedule, right?
Right. I think we'd better give ourselves a little flexibility because, you know, we might find a candidate that all of us agree on and we may not, and we might, who knows? And I would hate to.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That would be a first.
Yeah. Well, you know, got to think positive. But anyway, I would hate to.
No, that's very.
I'd hate to get us up to the drop dead date and then. We've got to respond within 6 days to fill this position. I would like to have at least have us. I don't see any problem if somebody's interested. With 3 weeks, we're going to get some kind of applications, and to have this first meeting as soon as we can. If we can agree at that meeting, great. If we can't, then we've got a second meeting and maybe a reapplication or something, just to give us some flexibility.
So if you put notice in tomorrow, you got 15 days, which puts us into.
At least 15 days.
So it gives you two meetings. You got two meetings in July. So you're saying if we can't pick somebody in the early meeting,
we got time.
Yeah,
it's almost a month
it's
until
27
the 16th.
Is that 27
days? All right.
Yeah, it's almost tomorrow. A month till the 16th. Yeah. And then if it doesn't, if we don't succeed on the 16th, we can't call that meeting on the 31st that we were talking about. Is that what you're saying? Is that a backup date?
Something.
Does that work for you?
That's fine. I guess it's more.
It is 27. You're right. It's almost a month.
It's not a month. It's not a month.
Well,
it's
27 days.
4 days. Short of a month.
3 weeks.
It's only two publications. Newspaper.
Well, we have a newspaper that publishes more than once a week.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
All right. So where we have decided that we've already voted on this.
We need a motion to identify the date that the appointment will be made.
We voted.
You voted to go with the appointment. Now the next step is to pick the date.
I move that we have the first call of applicants on the 16th of July.
Second.
Is it okay?
No. Need to make a motion that the board will be appointing someone to fill the vacancy on June 16th. Or July 16th.
I move council's recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Questions from the audience? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you, council.
Do we have any committee updates?
None.
Correspondence, discussions, possible action, nothing here. Public records requests, none. Future agenda items. Chris, anything?
Nothing.
Kevin, anything?
No.
Bill?
No.
We have never talked about summer internship program, and I'd like to have a conversation about that.
We have a summer intern this summer.
Yeah, we already got one.
We just have one person.
We only got one.
Excuse me. I'd like to have an agenda item to discuss a summer volunteer high school leadership program.
Yeah, I do have an item for the future I'd like to talk about, and that would be. Board communications out to the public.
Okay, let's put it on the next agenda.
Yeah. And why I brought that up is the letter you wrote to the farmers market. We didn't have a chance to talk about it.
Yeah, we cannot discuss it at this point. It's not.
Well, I just so that staff knows what I'm kind of going for.
Let's put it on the next agenda, please. Anything else? Thank you. We're adjourned.